So reading today morning, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter number 28, entitled Puranjana Becomes a Woman in the Next Life. Text number 20.
Prabodayati Mavignam. Prabodayati Mavignam. Yushite Shoka Kashita. Yushite Shoka Kashita. Vatmaitad Graha Mediya. Vatmaitad Graha Mediya. Virasurapi Nishyati. Virasurapi Nishyati. Prabodhyati Mavignya. Vyushite Shoka Karshita. Vadmaita Graha Mediya. Virasurapi Nishyati.
Word to word meaning, Prabodhayati gives good counsel. Ma, unto me. Avignam, foolish. Yusite, at the time of my being away. Shoka, by agreement. Karshita, being aggrieved and thus dried up. Vatma, path. Etat, this. Graha Mediyam, of household responsibilities. Virasu, the mother of great heroes. Api, although. Neshati, will she be able to execute? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, King Puranjana continued thinking how, when he was in a state of bewilderment, his wife would give him good counsel, and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she would not be able to maintain the responsibility of household affairs. Purport, at the time of death, King Puranjana was thinking of his wife, and this is called polluted consciousness. As Lord Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 15:7, Mamaivamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha Manasastrani Indriyani Prakritistani Kashati. The living entity in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which includes the mind. The living entity is, after all, part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit, Krishna. In other words, Krishna's constitutional position and the living entity's constitutional position are the same quality. The only difference is that living entity is eternally an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit. Mavimamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. In this material world of conditioned life, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord, the individual soul, is struggling due to his contaminated mind and consciousness. As part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, a living entity is supposed to think of Krishna. But here we see that King Puranjana, the living entity, is thinking of a woman. Such mental absorption with some sense objects bring about the living entity's struggle for existence in this material world. Since King Puranjana is thinking of his wife, his struggle for existence in the material world will not be ended by death. As revealed in the following verses, King Puranjana had to accept the body of a woman in his next life due to his being overly absorbed in thoughts of his wife. Thus, mental absorption in social, political, pseudo-religious, national and communal consciousness is cause for bondage. During one's lifetime, one has to change his activities in order to attain release from bondage. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 3.9. Ignartha karmano natra lokayam karma bandana. If we do not change our consciousness in this life, whatever we do in the name of social, political, religious or communal and national welfare will be the cause of our bondage. This means we have to continue in material conditional life. As explained in Bhagavad Gita 15.7, manasastrayani indriyani prakriti sthani kashyati. When the mind and senses are engaged in material activities, one has to continue his material existence and struggle to attain happiness. In each and every life, one is engaged in the struggle to become happy. Actually, no one in this material world is happy, but the struggle gives a false sense of happiness. A person must work very hard, and when he attains the result of his hard work, he thinks himself happy. In the material world, people do not know what real happiness is. Sukham atyantikam yatad buddhi graham atindriyam. 621, Bhagavad Gita 621. Real happiness must be appreciated by one's transcendental senses. Unless one is purified, the transcendental senses are not manifest. Therefore, to purify the senses, one must take to Krishna consciousness and engage the sense in the service of the Lord. Then there will be real happiness and liberation. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 15:8, Sariram yat avapnoti yachapi utkramati shvara grite vaityani samyati vayurgandan iva shayat. The living entity in the material world carries its different conception of life from one body to another, as the air carries aroma. If the wind passes over a garden of roses, it will carry the aroma of roses. And if it passes over a filthy place, it will carry the stench of obnoxious things. Similarly, King Puranjana, the living entity, now passes the air of his life over his wife, a woman. Therefore, he has to accept the body of a woman in his next life. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Chalakya Sakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Sagrijatam Sagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitam Sha E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sudadevi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpatarubhyasya Kripasindubhyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasari Gaura Bhaktavanda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, seeking the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas. I should admit that I prepared for a different verse actually, but now, because yesterday verse was skipped. So here, the allegorical story, Puranjana, as the title of this chapter, Puranjana becomes a woman in the next life. So this chapter, you know, explains how the living entity leaves his gross body. So we know we have a gross body, a subtle body, and a spiritual body. At the time of death, a spirit soul is covered by the subtle body, is transferred to another body, another gross body. So the first 24 verses talks about how the living entity leaves the body. So here in the verse translation, he's thinking, King Puranjana continued thinking, when he was in a state of bewilderment, his wife would give him good counsel and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she should not be able to maintain the responsibility of household affairs. So we have Varnashram system. So that is Brahmachari, Grahastha, Vanaprastha and Sannyasi. So this Varna and Ashram is there. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. As long as in material world, as long as we are in this material world, we have to follow some Varna and Ashram so that we can progress in our Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, you know, we can aim, we can dedicate our full, so that person at the till age of 25 is getting trained how to control senses in Brahmachari Ashram. And then he moved to Grahastha Ashram, where he can expand. He got his family, he got his son, grandson. And then both the male and the female are in Vanaprastha. That a certain age when the children are grown up, they go to different pilgrimage. And then, you know, when a person taking sannyas, he actually hand over his wife to the eldest son in the family, and then he takes to sannyas ashram. So if the practice is not in place to renounce the material world gradually, then it's very difficult. At the fag end of life, one is turning his consciousness towards Krishna. So it's a usual notion that if someone is coming into spiritual path, then he has a lot of time now to enjoy the senses. So this is material civilization. Prabhupada writes that a material civilization means that his life is only this life I have, and I have to use it for sense gratification. There is no concern about the future. You know, there is no asset plan for the future. Even though it's a fact that the soul passes from one body to another, that from boyhood to youth to old age, at the time of death it similarly passes to another body, but there is no question of thinking of what is his destination. So the body is given. A body is given for a particular purpose. We as a living entity want to enjoy, separate from Krishna, and he gets a particular body according to the activities he has performed in his previous life, and according to karma and what he deserves, is forced upon a certain body to enjoy in that body. So, but then if a person, for example, is traveling in a car, the most important thing is the destination. But then, because he is enjoying the comfortable seats of a car, or he is enjoying the coziness or the comfortable in the car with the AC, with the cushion seat, with the push bag, all these facilities enjoying, he is forgetting the journey, he forgot the destination. So the body is given to a particular purpose so that we get reminded. We use the body to get not another body. This is a little bit, you know, it's tricky. You are given a body so that you don't have to get another body. If you use the body which you have got in a proper way, you will not get another body. But if you use the body in a sense gratificatory or in activities which is available to any other species, then you'll get body after body, body after body. Vacham sijinani yata vihaya. You can reverse that. Once you have the old and worn out shirt or dress, we give up and we take the new dress. Similarly, the body at the time of death takes a new dress. It's like, you know, it's like the, you know, if you want to get the tree down, so you need to use the axe. So the axe is made out of the same tree bark, you know, the handle of the axe is made out of the same tree. So that the axe is made out of the same tree to cut down the tree which is made out of. So similarly, our body is given, we have to use in the proper Krishna conscious way or proper spiritual way. So we can cut down this gross body altogether. This is the idea. So here Puranjana, because he has indulged in lot of sense gratificatory activity in his young age, here a wife, you know, the wife, every term we used in this story, allegorical, there is a representative. Wife, son, grandson, superintendent of police, serpent, lifer. But this section, it talks about the conventional wife and sons. It is not talking about the allegorical. Even if it is, Samacharya says it is talking about the allegorical section as well, right? The wife means dharmic intelligence. When one person gives away the dharmic intelligence, he feels very much depressed. But here, in this, is a conventional wife, that is, got married to a wife and he got his son. So, there is another, you know, tricky situation. So, Prabhupada writing in one of the purport, a wife is a chaste in nature. A chaste wife obviously is obedient to husband. Because the wife is very chaste and obedient to the husband is very much attached to the wife. Now, this is a dangerous situation. Because if you see, at the time of death, one has to think of Krishna, not about his wife or son. So if a person, you know, if a wife is, you know, we are talking about the normal materialistic standard, we are not talking about Krishna conscious family. In normal materialistic pious family, if you see, the wife is very chaste and very obedient, she does her duties. Natural serving mood is there. You know, if you see in our normal activities also, you know, the ladies, general, you know, psychology is, they like to do some menial service. If you are in a group or you're going to picnic or something, all the ladies come together, they want to serve others. They want to clean. They want to do, you know, it's a natural service attitude is there. That way, they are very much prone to devotion to Krishna. Because of male ego, you know, it's a bit complicated. It takes time to become, you know, humble. It takes time to, you know, give up that ego and do some menial service. Because he wants to represent him as the head of the family, head of the society, head of everything. But if you see the lady's psychology, they are very much naturally normal, even if they are not in Krishna consciousness also, they are ready to serve, they can take up that menial service very easily. Not very, you know, you have to push or tell them. So that way they are very much attractive to Krishna consciousness when they come. Because in Krishna consciousness we repeat telling, you know, you need to be a servant of the servant. You need to develop the service attitude. We need to put others in front. So these are all, you know, comes handy. So then a person, normal standard, when a lady is in grihastha ashram or in, you know, family life, you know, family life, so she does the duty, she takes care of the children, she serves the husband, she is obedient, she says, so that way the person, you know, becomes more attached to that woman, and then it's very difficult for that person to get liberated at the time of death or think of Krishna. Even in the life of, you know, Srila Prabhupada also, if you see, when he got married, he was not very having happy family life, and he was complaining to his father, and the father actually told, this is actually a benediction. That time he didn't understand, but then later he can able to understand because he can able to renounce. So that, you know, either way, whether a person is attached to the wife or a person is not taking care of the family, that is not Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means Krishna in the center. Woman, you know, serving the husband in keeping Krishna in center, and the man protecting and giving every affection to the wife, keeping Krishna in the center. That is Krishna conscious family. That way they both can remember Krishna and rise above. It's like in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu was there. Mahaprabhu went to Varanasi and then he's going to Mathura. Then he came back to Varanasi. So he was staying at Chandrasekhar, Acharya, his house. He was not a Brahmana, he was a Sudra. But Mahaprabhu, for him, you know, Varnas doesn't apply. Even, you know, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Krishna Kaviraj Goswami writing that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what Varna does it belong to? For him, there is no Varna as such, there is no ashram. He is a Supreme Person. But just to save the people in Kali Yuga, he has taken sannyas. Just to liberate Mayavadis, just to liberate people who are going away from Krishna. A lot of apasampradaya. A lot of casteism, lot of, you know, deviation. And the Supreme Personality of God feel compassion that by taking sannyas, it's a natural thing that they respect the personality who is in saffron robes. It's a custom, it's a cultural, it's a kind of a setting in India 500 years back that if someone is in sannyas ashram, obviously the people show respect to him. So by doing certain respect or doing certain, you know, showing some appreciation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they develop some Agyada Sukriti. By that way they can become devotee. That is the sole purpose of Mahaprabhu taking sannyas. Is if you see all the associates of Mahaprabhu, all the leader, they are not sannyasis. And, you know, the Panchatattva, they are giving, you know, to everyone, patra patra vichara nahi, nahi sthana sthana. You know, the person who is qualified or not qualified doesn't matter. Favorable place or unfavorable, doesn't matter. Paya, that, you know, anyone who want to, you know, anywhere available, any opportunity is there to give, and, you know, anyone who want to receive the prem dan, you know, the Krishna prem, they give. There is no discrimination of who is eligible, who is qualified not. There is no discrimination of, you know, favorable place or, you know. And that's why the definition of Acharya. So Srila Prabhupada is writing, so he is an Acharya. Acharya means according to time, place, circumstances, certain activities are done so that the conditioned soul can come into Krishna consciousness. Keeping that mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas because he wants to liberate all other, you know, Mayavadis and other sampradayas to become Krishna consciousness. So that's why he recommended this way. So Prabhupada, he is smashing some of his, you know, devotees who criticize Prabhupada because Prabhupada giving, you know, initiation to women and girls and boys. They started worshipping the deity. They are having ashramas for, you know, ladies. So Prabhupada said, you know, this is the custom in the Western world. They like to freely mingle each other. What is the problem? If we can able to engage them, and these ladies are non, you know, not less than any men, they can be used in the preaching service. They can be able to get people. If we are not engaged, anyway they are going to mingle. And this is a normal custom and, you know, thing. So Prabhupada himself, you know, putting in the position of an Acharya, establishing some system according to time, place, circumstances, establishing some kind of, you know, program so that any fallen souls who is going away from Krishna consciousness can be brought back to Krishna consciousness. This is Acharya. You know, according to certain time, place, circumstances, some, you know, program has been introduced. I'm thinking constantly how we can, you know, able to get these people who are going away. So Mahaprabhu also, you know, was thinking, and then he was criticized heavily by these Mayavadis. Because even though he got, you know, sannyasi from a Mayavadi, you know, Keshava Bharati, but that Bharati, you know, is a low level of sannyasi from Mayavadi. There are other Saraswati, Thakur, so many other, this is low level. And moreover, he is chanting and dancing and, you know, spreading the glories of Sankirtan. They are not happy. They thought, you know, this person is just a sentimentalist. This is what the great Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also thought. He is a great logician. You know, he is a teacher of all sannyasis, Mayavadi sannyasis. He is thinking, this person is so young, he is so beautiful, he is looking very good, and he is acting very sentimental. He doesn't have any, you know, Vedanta, you know, I'm going to teach him the Vedanta, because he is not having any knowledge of Vedanta and he's become sentimental. This is what everyone was thinking and they were criticizing. So these two, Mahaprabhu used to stay in Chandrasekharacharya and then go to Tapan Mishra to have, you know, prasad. They both came, Tapan Mishra and Chandrasekharacharya, they came, they said, Mahaprabhu, you know, we're going to drown in Ganges and we're going to leave our life. We couldn't take it anymore. We cannot take anymore. The people are criticizing you. They are accusing you. How can we take, you know, the blasphemy? Someone, you know, blaspheming, one should able to give back with a proper argument and cut. Otherwise, leave that place, or otherwise he can kill himself.
Kill
that person. This is Mahatmaji's method, I think. So, if Swarupa was writing, actually it's interesting. So Chandrasekharacharya and Tapan Mishra, they are Kanishta Adhikaris. They are Kanishta because they couldn't able to argue and give it back, and they couldn't able to do anything, and they coming to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and complaining. So when they did like the Mahaprabhu, you know, smiled and he didn't tell anything. That time one Brahmana came and told, come to my home. I've invited all the sannyasis. You also come. So this is the leela of Mahaprabhu to liberate the Prakasananda Saraswati, the leader of Mayavadis. Why I was speaking is, so Prabhupada, right? So we have this process of chanting and dancing, and then we have this study. If there is no proper study, so we also read Vedanta Sutras. Our Vaishnava commentary on Vedanta Sutra is the Govinda Bhashya, but the natural commentary of Vedanta Sutra was written by Vyasadeva, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So we read Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Our main source of nourishment, our source of, you know, all the basis of our speech, everything comes from Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. So if one person is not studying the Vedanta Sutra, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, or not any scriptures or literature, and then only performing, dancing, and he may end up in Sahajya. Like Prabhupada writes in Srimad Bhagavad Gita also, that religion without, you know, philosophy, it becomes fanatics. And then philosophy without religion becomes dry speculation, or become dry. So here, Prabhupada giving our, you know, in that Chaitanya Charitamrita, in that section is saying, one has to read at the same time, you know, perform Sankirtan. So that way there is a balance. If only reading Vedanta Sutra, then we will become like jnanis. In Bhagavad Gita also, there are a lot of knowledge is there. Knowledge about the soul, knowledge about the Paramatma, knowledge about the Bhagavan, knowledge about the relationship between the soul and the Bhagavan, knowledge about the Absolute, 7th chapter. Talks about the Krishna's energies, material, inferior, superior energy, how Krishna is the source of everything, he is maintainer, he is destruction. All knowledge is given so that we can perform bhakti. So understanding that a person is a spirit soul, understanding a person is a jiva, is a living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, then this knowledge should help that person engage in the service of Supreme Soul. That is the idea of knowledge. Not that getting that knowledge, that not doing anything or serving, in acting in that platform of knowledge. So our idea is, we are not performing bhakti to get knowledge. You should understand that. We are not approaching Srimad Bhagavatam or the other scriptures or the process that we should be able to get knowledge and know more. That is not the idea. Idea is, we get the knowledge. This knowledge is not material knowledge. Of course, we are getting the transcendental knowledge so that we can perform bhakti. that knowledge culmination of that knowledge is that we can able to surrender to Krishna. That is the idea in Srimad Bhagavad Gita also, that one able to surrender Krishna at the end of Bhagavad Gita. Whole knowledge is presented. Even the last 6th chapter talks about the jnana, full knowledge of material, you know, 3 modes of material nature and other knowledge, just to help us to make surrender, come to that point that where we can surrender to Krishna or serve to our capacity. So this has to be balanced. So not that we are reading and getting. So similarly, when a person is in the ashram, irrespective of which ashram he is, irrespective of which position or which level in bhakti or whichever way, you know, starting, one has to cultivate this remembrance of Krishna. This is more important. So Prabhupada writes in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita that if one cannot able to remember Krishna when there is little small problem coming up, then what is the guarantee that one can remember Krishna at the biggest problem of life is death? So we go through a lot of issues, problems and so many other things, and we are not remembering Krishna. Then what is the guarantee at the time of death that we can remember Krishna? Even Kulashekhar Alwar, you know, he is praying that right now I should leave my life, because right now my body, mind, everything is healthy, my senses are healthy. I can remember Krishna and I can leave my body so that the mind can remember the lotus feet of Krishna and enter into Krishna's kingdom. What will happen? We don't know at the time when it is old. The mucus and kapha, everything is choked up in my throat. I can't able to say any word of Krishna. My mind is weak. You can see in the life of Puranjana, the invalidity gets strike at him at the end. All the gates are, you know, malfunctioning. You can't see, you know, old age, we can't see, we can't hear, we can't digest, we can't evacuate. So many problems that comes. And so many mind is not steady, because if you see the senses are agitated, how is the possibility that mind can be, you know, in steady state? So if we can able to practice at every moment in our life, that's why we chant Hare Krishna. The main purpose of chanting Hare Krishna is that we absorb our mind in chanting the holy name of Krishna, and it's easy that when we get to the stage, we can prepare more self and go deep. The symptoms we can see here, how the gross body is transforming when the person is entering into the face. When Kalakanya embraces, when the old age embraces, and then all the senses are weakened, the body is getting heated up. A very graphical representation, the description of each and every step. And here, you know, the Puranjana is thinking of his wife, he's thinking of his sons, if he's thinking of his beloved, how they're going to. The classic example, that person is materialistic, he begs the physician, can you elongate this for another few months? Can you make it another 1 year or so? I can give you all the money, I can give you everything, can you get more time? Even if you get more time, what are you going to do? He's going to call the beloved and say, you know, you need to take care of this, I have this property, I have that property, I have this issue, that issue. So it's very difficult when we are in the fag end of our life, that we can able to, you know, transfer our consciousness from normal to Krishna consciousness. I remember, you know, I've got one of my friend's father. He's around like 65, and every time, you know, he meets me, or, you know, when we have discussion, he will always ask me, you know, oh, I have to get some job, I have to get some business, I have to start a new business, and I have to invest this, I like to do this, expand like that, and I have to get a job at 65 like that. And I was thinking, how are you going to tell this person? In my heart I'm thinking, another few years you're going to be here. Your graph has to come down, not that you go increase. If you're planning, you know, expanding, or you know, thinking of more and more, when you come down, when you calm down, when you go down, is very devotees. We should be proactive. We should think. We should plan how we can able to balance. We have a graph. Yes, we have certain needs. We have certain responsibility. We have certain commitment. We plan for that. Yes, good. We should not be, you know, we should not be a bad example in the society that we are jobless and things like that. We have to work and get that done. And then certain stage we have to see, okay, fine, now I have to make sure everything is set. Now I can concentrate more on preaching, or concentrate more on my sadhana, or concentrate more on my, you know, giving Krishna consciousness to others, or my life in such a way, simple living, not much complication at the end of life. We plan, then it's easy. Then we can able to concentrate more. Isn't it? Not that we go on increasing our graph till the time we break and snap. Then we come to Krishna, Krishna, please, you know, help me. So this, then this way I told, you know, you have to, you know, calm down. Why you have to doing, you know, just as you come to temple, we do some service, simple. Saying, but I have worked for 40 years. What about my knowledge? What about my skill? Everything will be wasted. I was saying, anyway, it's going to go waste. Whether you use it or not, you know, again you have to come back and study LKG. We cannot take our skill, we cannot take our, you know, talent, we cannot take our knowledge, we cannot take our possession. Again we have to study LKG, again we have to apply for PR. So this is guaranteed. Yeah, I don't know, then next time, you know, PR will be more difficult. Isn't it? Looks like we have to come on board. But the thing is, I tell you, he's saying, oh no, no, this will be wasted. I don't want money or anything, but I want to make sure that my skill is being transferred to others. I want to freely teach people how to do business. And I said, only Krishna can save. We have to engage in service, some transformation happens in the heart. So here we have Puranjana. We can see from this lifestyle of Puranjana, we can be cautious. We can understand our own position and then plan accordingly, so that we can spend quality time in chanting and listening and reading about Krishna and getting our mind absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so that it's easy for us. So I'll just read the translation and stop if anyone has any comment or addition. So King Puranjana continued thinking how, when he was in a state of bewilderment, his wife would give him good counsel, and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she would not be able to maintain the responsibility of household affairs. Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhu.
King Kulashekhar.
Yeah.
Praying that he wants to leave his body at a young age or young,
yeah,
rather than old age. So did he do that, or did he have to go over himself?
No, he is a great devotee. Actually, Ramchandra appeared to him. It's like, you know, Yamunacharya saying, whenever I get a thought of, you know, sex life, I spit. So these acharyas, you know, Prahlad Maharaj giving, you know, tucham, yecham, you know, all this great, well. So they are all Mahajans. They are giving us some hints, and they are giving some guidelines how one should able to have his lifestyle. So King Kulashekhar is a king. He's a great king. He has everything at his disposal, isn't it? He has his minister, everything is there in disposal. Why he has to think like that? If you really see, he's a great king. He is here presenting the urgency. He is presenting the pitiful condition of conditioned soul. How they think that's an illusion, right? We have that conception that, okay, this age, when the senses are strong, when the senses are fit, we have to use it in sense gratification. when they are worn out, when they are not able to do anything, then we can worry about, you know, all the spiritual activity. But it's not like that. That's what he is meaning. He is saying when you are fit, when you have ability, when you have proper consciousness, spend time in elevating your consciousness, not degrading. Because consciousness gets degraded, moods get degraded, you will be pushed down. You'll be going down, down, down. You cannot, you know. So we have to elevate our consciousness. And so obviously, you know, he is pure devotee, Egon, he is an eternal associate. So we should also plan like that. Because death can come anytime. Death can come anytime, actually. Death, old age, disease, and birth. Yeah? Most of the people know this is a permanent problem. It's not that, you know, only devotees. Most of them know. But most of them actually use this to make money. If you see nowadays, hospital, disease, hospitality, hospitality industry and hospital. Or, you know, what else? Disease, old age. Old age. They use this not to turn against material civilization and go towards Krishna, but rather they use this to get money. How bad is that? You understand? Any profession, anything dealing with these four, you will make money. Because it's an evergreen problem. And the hope is, they create a hope that they're going to solve the problem. The scientist is going to create, you know, Prabhupada writes in the next verse, in next Prabhupada writes, oh, they only think about this. Even if they know that, you know, this life is going to end and everything, they are fearful of about their future. Because once you submit, okay, these are all problems, I'll surrender to Krishna, then the scientists and everything, they don't have any fund to work or to make money. Or the economy doesn't grow. If everyone becomes saint, everyone want a tree under that and chant Hare Krishna, how the economy will grow? So there is a creation, this is a beautiful illusion. So we should aware of this Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi, and we should be able to use this as to a catalyst to go towards Krishna. Not that we know and we are not doing anything, we'll just worry about it later. So that is not Krishna consciousness. That is not like a proactive devotee. Yes, we know this problem. We have to solve this to go to Krishna. Yeah. Is that okay?
Who was that other king who was fighting for the gods? He told him that you have only one moment to. And then immediately,
Katvanga Maharaj? Katvanga? In a moment he became Krishna consciousness.
So he left his body while his senses were completely fully active.
Hmm. Okay. Yes, bro. He's saying that we have this gross body, subtle body and spiritual soul. At the time of death, the soul is covered by the subtle body and go to the next body. But when you are going to Krishna, the subtle body is left and the spirit soul alone goes. Yes, that's right. Your transcendental senses are awakened. You are in the purport we read. Right now the mind is not purified. So you have to purify the mind. How are you going to purify the mind? You tell me. Krishna in purport, purport, right? Engage your senses in the service of Krishna. Then the mind is get and the senses get purified. And this is bhakti. Once the mind and senses are get purified, then your transcendental senses are awakened. And then, you know, you can go to Krishna.
You have to renounce mind also.
Yeah, yeah. You have to ignore the mind, actually. करते हैं उसका। फिर 15 श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय, श्री प्रभुपाद की जय, और प्रेमनंदी हरे।